Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Today marks a milestone in the fight for racial equality in the U.S. on this day 150 years ago. The 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, signed his Preliminary Emancipation Proclamation. WBUR's Dolores Handy reports that document was the federal government's first official step toward the abolition of slavery.
We believe in freedom and prayer.
Music from the civil rights era pours from the hallowed halls of Boston's historic African Meeting House. It is the oldest extant black church in America. This church is where leaders of the abolitionist movement gathered to plot their course of action to bring an end to slavery. Their efforts got a boost from President Lincoln on September 22, 1862, when the Civil War was more than a year old.
The president, by mid-July, has decided that he's going to issue the Emancipation Proclamation.
Beverly Morgan Welsh is executive director of the Museum of African American History.
He is issuing this proclamation 100 days before January 1st, 1863. Basically, let it be known, if by January 1, you're in a state of rebellion, we're going to free all of those enslaved.
She says it was a strategic move.
Lincoln makes it very clear that his position is to preserve the Union. This is about moving the war effort forward. This is about winning the war.
100 days later, with the war still ongoing, Lincoln issued the final Emancipation Proclamation.
He's not freeing everyone. He wants to keep the border states that still have people enslaved in the fold. That's strategic. He's not saying that he doesn't believe in slavery as an institution. And in fact, he believes that because there are black and white people, you know, this is, you know, pretty much always going to be a problem.
They open the door a crack. And through that door, other people will march and other things will seem possible.
Brookline native Stephen Kantrowitz is a University of Wisconsin historian. He spoke this week as part of commemorations at the African Meeting House in Boston. His new book chronicles the struggle to abolish slavery through the lives of black activists in and around Boston who were still fighting for full citizenship even after the legal end of slavery.
There was a concerted campaign that persisted through the Civil War and never stopped afterwards.
It was a campaign, Kantrowitz says, that deliberately perpetuated the legacies of slavery.
And it's the success of that campaign that we continue to live with this, in some ways, elements of a caste society in the United States.
Some, such as Boston historian Bob Hayton, see the struggle continuing today.
It's just an ongoing, constant, never-ending challenge to educate people around the issues. I mean, just look at voter suppression that's being attempted in half a dozen or more states. They call it voter suppression with the requirements that some states are trying very hard to implement to reduce people in certain parts of the country from voting. I think people need to know that's going on and understand what it means.
Events this week are just the beginning of a campaign that continues into next year, commemorating the Emancipation Proclamation and the long citizenship fight that followed.
The fact of the matter is, it is everyday people, everyday citizens who make freedom rise.
And Beverly Morgan Welsh of the Museum of African American History says it's only fitting that much of the focus is on abolition activists here in Boston.
Lincoln himself said that Boston had done more to bring on the war than any other city.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.
Oh, it could not be if Jesus named the